Good singing, and kids, you'd be dismissed for children's church this morning. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 16. And while you're turning there, let me mention something else for you to be praying about this week. I meant to put in the bulletin. I told Leslie last night, I said, I know that there's something that's supposed to go in the bulletin. I can't remember what it was, and I just remembered what it was. So, we're trying to reach folks in our neighborhood. And, there's certain times when people are more receptive to the gospel than other times. And one of those times is when they've moved to a new place. And so for the next several months, we're going to send a postcard to those that move within 5 miles of our church, and inviting them to church and giving them information about our church, and then doing some follow-up on the close ones. But help us pray that God would bless that, and God would help us to find favor with those. And if you know somebody, if you know you've got a new neighbor, a good opportunity to say, hey, I know that you're new. I found a good church, so you won't have to look hard. Just come with me Sunday. And but be praying that God will give us a reward for that effort, and those other prayer requests that I mentioned. So Luke chapter 16. How many of you, you've heard the story, when you get married, fellas, you've all heard, especially the men, what's his is mine. And what's mine is mine. We've all heard that. And Jesus, in this parable, we've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and this one is probably one of the most difficult ones to understand. And there's been a lot of questions about just exactly what on earth Jesus was talking about. But I hope we'll unpack it this morning, and we'll find that what he was talking about was the blessing that we have available to us as his children. And a challenge to be faithful to God and find that God is faithful to us as well. So let's take a look, beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 16. It says, "And he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him. He said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. He said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the just steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall or fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you or trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who would give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The interesting parable, and the reason why it's so hard to grasp what Jesus is trying to say is it seems like Jesus is saying, hey, listen, this guy that did wrong is getting a pat on the back. Seems like he's literally saying, hey, it's okay to be shrewd. And that's not at all, I don't think, what Jesus is trying to get across to us. Remember that parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And Jesus wants us to understand the parables. You know, as we looked at the lost things in chapter 15, you know, last week and the week before, we've noted that, you know, the characters in the parables, God is there and God's people are there. They play into these parables in some way. Now, for us, a steward is kind of a foreign concept, isn't it? When we think of steward, when it's maybe January, we have stewardship month, and what comes to our mind? Finances. We think, here's going to come a sermon, a preacher going to preach on money. Well, there are times when you do need to hear sermons on money, because Jesus knows and understands that where our money goes is where our heart is at. And it tells a lot about how our spiritual condition is. But a steward was somebody that was put in charge of managing something of someone else's. So it wasn't just, you know, it may have been, we think of it kind of as a manager, a store manager, general manager of a department store, something like that. That they don't own the store, but they're in charge of the store. And they're in charge of what goes on, and they're in charge of, you know, employees and all those kind of things. They have the authority to look after and to act for the owner. And that's what a steward was, and what, you know, we still have stewards, though we don't call them that most of the time today. So that's the context or kind of the background of that first century office that, you know, and that's a lot of responsibility. If somebody trusted you to be a steward, it meant, you know, that they'd given you some responsibility. And that was an important thing. And so all of us have been given opportunities and responsibilities for things. And what we do with those opportunities and responsibilities not only says a lot about us, but it says a lot about God and our relationship with Him specifically. And so as we unpack this parable, I think what Jesus is trying to tell us, it's not that the man is being patted on the back for doing what's wrong. I think Jesus intentionally leaves the point of the story unmade, because he wanted his disciples to come to the conclusion on themselves. But then in a certain way, he did give what the point is. And I hope that by the end of the sermon this morning, we'll see what the point is. And the first thing that I want us to see in this passage of Scripture is that all of us, you have been appointed. You have been appointed a steward by God. Now, God has given you stuff, and you should take good care of it and be a good steward of the things that God has given you. But I don't think that's the point that Jesus is making. And I don't think he's talking about money either. I think what Jesus is talking about is the spiritual opportunities and the spiritual life that God gives us. What God has made us steward over first of all, is our spiritual life. We're accountable for that relationship that we have with God. God has appointed us as sons and daughters. We're joint heirs with Christ. And what we do with that is important. That we've been given the responsibilities and opportunities to manage those things well. And when we do, what happens? God, we find God's blessings. It's not always monetary, is it? In fact, some of God's greatest blessings are not money at all. But God has given us our salvation that we are to be good stewards of. That we are to manage things that God gives us well. I imagine that Holly said to Seth on a few occasions in his teenage years, "Son, act like you got some raisin." Did you ever have to say that to him? She said yes. Listen, God has to say that to us all the time. He said, "Listen, you knucklehead, act like you have some raisin. Act like you belong to me. Act like we have," and so we've got this relationship with God that we're supposed to be a steward of, that we're supposed to manage it. Well, how do we manage our salvation? Paul puts it this way. He said, "Work out with fear and trembling your own salvation." He wasn't saying that we earn our salvation by doing stuff. What he was saying was that when you're saved, it oozes out of you. In other words, it comes pouring out. And so we are responsible for making sure that we leak. We have been appointed to leak. So not only do we manage our relationship with God, our salvation, but God intends for us to manage our testimony as well. And having a testimony, you know, it starts by being saved. And it takes a long time to build up a testimony before people, and it takes 1 second to tear it down. And so we have to watch that. I think that Jesus is saying, listen, we need to be intentional to realize that the things that we have and the testimony we have and who we are in Christ is not to be taken lightly, that we have been appointed as stewards, as managers. Bible says, Paul says, we are not our own in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, you've been bought with a price. That though we are not our own, when we ask Christ to come into our life and be our Lord and Savior, He changes us, makes us new, gives us that new position as children of God. And we're not our own. We're not the owners of our life anymore. But Jesus says, I am giving you stewardship. I'm giving you management. It would be easier and a lot less stressful for your preacher if God would just, when you got saved, you just became totally sanctified and you did what you were supposed to do and you tithed and you read your Bible and you prayed and did all those things and you listened to the preacher's sermons and amen when you were supposed to amen and all those kind of things and then went out and lived what you heard. But that's not reality, is it? We have to manage, we had to get up this morning. We had to get in our car, somebody drove us to church. We didn't just transport here. In Star Trek, we got here. Nobody's going to stand and tell you, hey, listen, 9 o'clock, you need to read your Bible. Hey, 10 o'clock on Sunday, you're supposed to be in Sunday school. We have to have a little bit of responsibility for ourselves. We have to manage ourselves that way, make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus says, you know what? He wants us to be good stewards of the things that he gives us. But he tells this parable to his disciples to make this point that they as well had been appointed for a special task for God. And there was something that God had for them to do just the way that God has something for you to do. So you have the salvation, you have a testimony for others, and you have ministry. Every one of you has gifts and abilities that God has given you. Not so that you can get a big head and say, oh, look how great I am. But every gift, every natural ability, every spiritual ability that God has given to you, he has given to you so that you can help build his kingdom. And to glorify God, not glorify yourself. And so that's what, you know, I gave everybody a spiritual gifts assessment, and thank you to those that have filled those out. If you still haven't done it, the deacons are coming after you Monday, so you better get it in. I'm just teasing about that. But all of us have a spiritual gift. If you don't know what yours is, how on earth can you use it? But then when you do know what yours is, and maybe this is why some of you haven't filled it out, it's because you know where this is going. If you know what your spiritual gift is, guess what that means? You got to use it. And so this steward had been for a long time wasting away his master's stuff. He hadn't been doing his job. He hadn't been being faithful in managing the things that he was supposed to be managing. And it was reported to the master. And so he called him up and said, hey, what's up, buddy? I've heard that, you know, there's money missing and stuff missing. You've been slacking on the job. If that's true, you're not going to have a job no more. You're not going to be a steward. Well, the steward knew it wasn't true. And so he said, what am I going to do? I can't dig holes. And I'm too proud to beg. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll get into good graces with those that owe my master money, so that then they'll feel like they have to reciprocate toward me, and they'll help me out when I'm in need. Well, that's not exactly how it worked out. So we have to realize and understand that we have been appointed, that God has given you salvation, he's given you a testimony, and he's given you a ministry that he's entrusted to you. And he expects you to manage it well. But then secondly, we also find in this parable that not only have you been appointed, but you are accountable. That there'll be, that there's an accounting of, you know, every April when we file our taxes. Sometime later on in the year, some folks get a letter from the IRS. And you know what it says? Congratulations, sir. We have chosen you to review your tax return. And we'll be coming to your house to give you an audit and, you know, bring in your have your forms ready, or, you know, maybe your accountant standing by or whatever. And we're going to look things over. Now, some, when they look it over, they say, hey, listen, you did good. You had Rodney Romines keep your books, and so you're in good shape. You got all your receipts and all your X's X'd and your T's T'd and your I's dotted. Good job. Sometimes even they find, you know what? You paid us too much money. Here's a refund. But every once in a while, in fact, probably most of the time, you know what they say? We've checked the figures and you've not been a good manager. you owe us some money. In fact, not only do you owe us the taxes that you owe, now you owe us penalties too. And not only do you owe us taxes and penalties, but you owe us interest too. And until you pay it, we're going to garnish your wages and, you know, put a lien on your house or, you know, do all this. They're going to be sure they get their money one way or the other. But where I was going with that is that, you know, just like we're accountable for our tax, we're accountable before God. And more importantly, we're accountable before God. Paul says we'll give an account before God for the things that we do, whether good or bad. Now, that accounting's not going to be whether we make it to heaven or not. The only thing that determines that and the account that determines that is if the blood of Jesus is applied to our life and our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life because we've received Him by faith. But I do believe there'll be a reckoning, and I think God will say to us, hey, listen, I gave you this gift. How did you use it? I think God will say to some of us, I sent Joe and Mo across your path so that you could witness to them and lead them to the Lord. Why didn't you do it? I sent a missionary to your church so that you could help give your finances and prayers to him so that he could go to a foreign place where they don't have gospel churches and tell people about Jesus. And I gave you that plump tax return. And you had the ability to help him, but instead you bought a fishing boat. And it wasn't so you could fish for men. I think we need to remember, and I think Jesus has made the point, listen, we are going to stand accountable before God for how we use, how we manage our salvation, and how we manage our testimony, and how we manage the ministry that God has given to us. And so he said, hey, listen, Here's the truth of the matter, Jesus says. The manager, the owner, is going to show up at the manager's house one day, sooner or later. But the job that we do, you know, if you have an employee that's slacking off, it probably doesn't take you all that long to figure it out. If you have somebody that's stealing from you, it probably doesn't take you all that long to figure it out. Now, sometimes it might, but probably most of the time it doesn't. We all know people, hopefully none of us are this person that can't keep a job for more than 6 months. There's a reason, most of the time, why they can't keep a job for 6 months. It may manifest itself in different ways, but the problem is that they are not managing their life and their responsibilities well. And so Jesus asked this open, kind of a backdoor rhetorical question. He says, all right, steward. Yeah, that was good. You were shrewd. But you know, he asked this question, Jesus did. He said, hey, listen, you do that so that when you're in need, they're going to provide you an eternal home. In our Bibles, it's written as a statement. I think Jesus asked it, and it's intended as a question. He's saying, do you think that those that you have made friends with in this world are going to be able to help you in eternity? Well, of course the answer is no, they can't. Because they're headed for hell, not heaven. And they may can pull you along with them to hell, but they certainly aren't going to get you to heaven. And so Jesus, through this parable, asked this unanswered question, do you think they're going to help you in eternity? Yeah, you were shrewd. Man, you had good business dealings. Man, people thought you were just the great whatever it is you were doing. But the truth of the matter is, man's praise and those things are not where true riches lay. And so Jesus says, you know what? If you're unfaithful in a little bit of stuff, you're not going to be faithful with a bunch of stuff. But if you're faithful in little things, chances are pretty good you'll be faithful in the big things. That's why when somebody comes and Carl hires, we'll use him as an example, he's a business owner, he hires somebody, he doesn't make him a general manager on day one. He gives them probably a little bit of responsibility. He trusts them a little bit and says, hey. But when they show that, hey, listen, they're trustworthy and they do a good job and they're honest and they're going to do their work and they're going to do it right, then what's Carl do? He says, you know what? You've done a good job. I'm going to give you a promotion. Is it going to promote him to general manager and say, hey, look, I'm going to retire. Me and Emily are going to go, we're moving to Mexico and just sail off and you take everything, just mail us a check. No, he's not going to do that. But he may give him a little bit more responsibility because he's shown that he's trustworthy. And so he gives him a little bit more. And then maybe we'll give him a little bit more and a little bit more. But you don't just start somebody off and say, oh, right, here you go, you're in charge of the whole kit and caboodle. But Jesus says, whatever you are entrusted with, be responsible for. And so when God gives us little tasks and little responsibilities, if we're not faithful with them, He's not going to give us any more. You know, if we can't handle, a little job that God gives us, He's going to keep giving us a little job until we get it figured out and get on board and get things in line. And then He'll give us bigger tasks and bigger responsibilities. And so we have to remember that you've been appointed and that you are accountable. And then lastly this morning, a reminder that you will be rewarded. And we think of awarded, it can be a good award or it can be a bad award. There's certain awards that are given for, man, you're the best. But there's also awards that are given because, hey, you stink. you're the best at being the worst. And you don't want that kind of award. But by how we manage what God has given to us, not only affects the level of trust and the amount of things that God trusts us with, but He reminds us that, hey, listen, what you work for, you'll find an award for it. You'll be paid for it. If we're faithful, God says, hey, listen, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. He said, listen, if you'll choose me, you'll find a home in eternity, which is the most important and the most, that's the biggest reward you can ever find. Is eternity. But if you've chased after stuff And that's what mammon is. It's possessions. Money. Things of this world. Jesus wants us to understand, if you chase after things of this world and you gather up all this stuff and titles and praise from people, he says, then that's your reward. But you know what? The same people that praise you 1 minute will be the ones complaining about you the next minute. And that car that you think is just the swimmingest, greatest thing, it's going to break on you sooner or later. And you're going to have to trade it in sooner or later. But do you know what doesn't get stolen, doesn't break down, doesn't rust, doesn't fade away? Is our relationship with God. Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I think that's the point that he's trying to make in this parable that of this unjust steward, this one that didn't do right. And he's brought to account, I think the parable is to us as a reminder, hey, you are going to be accountable for the things that God gave you, and if you used them well or if you wasted them away. He's saying specifically to the disciples, listen, I have chosen you 12 numbskulls. And boy, the world was changed by the ones of those 12 that were faithful. But remember, not all of them were faithful. And none of them were perfect. Just like none of us are perfect. But God says to us, listen, friend, listen, child. You are my most treasured possession. Have you ever thought about that? You are the most valuable thing. God that owns all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the gold, all the silver that's in this world. He put it there. It's all His. But He says, more than all of those things, you are more valuable than any of that stuff. And yet, how enamored do we get with stuff instead of God? I know plenty of people, I guarantee you, you know plenty of people that are chasing after stuff rather than serving God. God says you will be awarded for that. You'll be awarded for how you manage your salvation and your testimony in the ministry that God gives you to complete. And the greatest reward didn't come in money. It comes in two things. The first is getting to heaven and hearing Jesus Himself say these words, well done, good and faithful servant. I think those will be the sweetest words and the greatest reward that any of us will ever receive. But then, secondly, we get eternity in heaven. We get streets paved with gold. We get eternal life. We get to be in the presence of the Almighty forever. Have the ability to praise and worship Him. And what a blessing that is, and how sad it is when we throw it away because we're chasing after something we think is more important. Because here's the thing. It's like earthly parents, they eventually die. Guess what happens to their stuff? It goes to their children, whether they want it or not. And there's some of your stuff parents, your kids really don't want. but some of it, you know, they But the point is that that stuff will go to them. You can't take it with you when you go to heaven. I've heard of people being buried in cars and different. They didn't take that car to heaven. It's still down in the ground being ruined because they're foolish enough to bury it in the ground. Here's the point. God Almighty is our Father. And He owns everything. And so what's our inheritance? What's our reward? What's our reward? It's everything. Because what's His is ours. If we know Him. And if we've been faithful to serve Him. If we've managed well the things that He has given us. And so let's be reminded. I hope this message, I think, is intended to be not only a challenge, but an encouragement to us to remember that we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And God did not give you the abilities and the opportunities that you have so that you can sit on a bench and twiddle your thumbs. He gave you the gifts and the abilities and the opportunities that He does so that you can know Him better and that you can help others come to know Him the way that you do. And I'm so thankful for that, and I hope you are as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for Your love to us. Lord, through this parable, You've reminded us of an important lesson that we are appointed to be good stewards of the things that You've given us. You've given us salvation. You've given us a testimony that You've changed our life and we are not what we used to be. And You've given us a ministry. But Lord, You also remind us that we are accountable to You for how we manage that. And Lord, our prayer is that You would find us faithful. That You would help us by Your power and Your strength to help us to be good stewards of the blessings that You've given us. That we might pray that You would expand our territory and give us greater influence because we've been faithful with what You've given to us. Lord, help us not to seek and chase after the things of this world. Help us to seek and chase after the things of heaven. If there's one here today, Lord, one watching on Facebook or YouTube that doesn't know You, they've never trusted You as Lord and Savior, would You help them today to come to know the great, wonderful grace of God Almighty? The greatest blessing that they'll ever receive is eternal life. And You made that possible by dying on the cross for us. And Lord, maybe there's one here today in person or watching virtually. Lord, really what You've been reminding us about today is our accountability. That we are accountable to You ultimately for what we've done with the blessings that You've given to us. Lord, forgive us when we're unfaithful, when we fall short of Your expectations for us. God, our desire individually and as a church is to faithfully serve You. You've been so good to all of us. And we want to honor You because of that and through the things that You've blessed us with. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.